to all the ladies in the place. Under some pressure, hit and set by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back.
The old Gravedigger.
The back of the club, Mackin' Horse, my crew's behind me.
I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum.
Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the need. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the layers. True to life.
What's up, Green Bay Packers fans? And welcome to another episode of the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Brought to you by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. This is your NFC Championship Preview Edition of the Packer Report Podcast. And Gilbert and I were just talking about this in the pre-production meeting, kind of a place that I'm not sure everybody thought Green Bay would be at this year. 7 wins 2 years ago, 6 wins last year. A rookie head coach. I think a lot of people thought the ceiling for this team was 9-7, maybe 10-6, but yet here they are. 13-3 now, 14-3, and on to the final countdown. 60 more minutes, and they will be in the Super Bowl. Gilbert, how you feeling?
I feel good, man. You know what? We probably got the best podcast music around. You know that? I'm just sitting there. I was listening to Biggie, and I was just like bopping.
Yeah, that shouts to Andy Rickoff at KQWB in Fargo, actually. He was the master mixer there on the Packer Report podcast intro and outro. So
Fargo.
Absolutely. Big shouts to doing big things Biggie? In Fargo.
They play Biggie in Fargo.
No, we had to find it. It's not in Fargo, actually. We had to find it.
Right.
I had to go to an old record store and dust that one off.
That's awesome. I'm getting excited, man. Oh, man, I'm getting excited because, you know, when we was getting ready for the Super Bowl or going through our road to the Super Bowl, this game right here was very, very instrumental. And us getting to the Super Bowl because playing against San Francisco and being involved in certain things got us ready to go play the teams that we had to play to get ready. So New England, when we played them, thank you to Frisco when we played them because we got ready for them.
Yeah, this is, NFC Championship. We mentioned, obviously, your past with this game when we did the recap for the Seahawks game. Mm-hmm. And you having lost twice to Dallas in the divisional round, then lost again in the NFC Championship game, but then winning 2 straight NFC Championship games. So, definitely, you're obviously a player that has tremendous amount of experience in these games. Let's hit the news real quick. Former Packers safety Bobby Dillon was named to the Hall of Fame in a centennial thing or some special class. It was the same class where they put like Bill Cowher in and Jimmy Johnson in. If you guys saw those. Live deals where they were in the studio, and that I gotta tell you, man, that guy that runs the Hall of Fame, he makes you look like a child. Have you seen that man?
Yeah, he's a pretty big dude.
6'9", 400.
Is he really?
6'9", 400 pounds.
What size suit he wear?
You know when they go in your house and they try and like fumigate it for termites and stuff, they actually just put his jacket over the house.
I believe you.
That is the biggest man I have ever seen. But we're still waiting to hear about Leroy. Really hopeful, for his chances. I think you know, they were making a thing about Cowboys wide receiver Drew Pearson, and I didn't like that. I don't know if you saw that, Gilbert, but they had a camera, you know, there because I think they sort of expected him to get in. And then when he didn't get in, he was pretty broken up about it, pretty frustrated. And they still released the footage of kind of his, not necessarily his darkest moment, but a moment of some pretty serious disappointment, and talked about Drew being the only player on the 1970s all-decade team not in the Hall of Fame. I think Leroy might be the only player on the all-90s all-decade team that's not in the Hall right now. So we're still waiting on number 36. But I've made the case statistically. I think you can certainly make the case culturally. You talk about the most famous touchdown celebration in NFL history, as far as something that's associated with one team. There's nothing like the Lambeau Leap, and Leroy created that. And beyond that, you know, he was a phenomenal player. So it's time. It's time for number 36 for sure. And the Packers are still waiting on Raven Green. I think right now, though, the roster sits at 52 players, so they're able to bring him up if they want to. Raven was put on injured reserve, designated to return, and he's been practicing. So it would be interesting to see if they roll out Raven and want him playing a little bit of sub linebacker, or even just running down on teams. I mean, he was a good special teamer. So we'll see if Raven Green gets added to the roster. But before we get into too terribly much football, there's some, you know, we like to hit a couple of different topics on this show. And Gilbert, you're excited about a couple fights coming up, including the Conor McGregor Cowboy fight is this weekend, is it not?
Oh, yes. The return of the notorious one, Conor McGregor. I mean, he's a guy, man, that when you look at him, he was at the top of his game, you know. And it goes to show you that fame can destroy you. And I mean, making all that money and fighting those big fights and going out to nightclubs and doing your image, and your image gets a hold of you, and then you punch a 60-year-old man in the face at a bar, and you go through things. And, you know, he'd been through his things, but took a year or two off, and now he's back. He said he changed his life, and he wants to get things going. And Cowboy Cerrone is one of those guys where it's going to be interesting, man, because he's one of those guys that will take a fight anywhere, anytime, any place. You call him up, yep, here I come. I'm doing this. Just had a baby, and he changed his life around, too, because he was one of those guys that now he's fighting for his son. You know, he enjoys his life, and he got things going in the right direction. So it's going to be a nice clash. Fights, and I'm excited to see it. And also, I'm getting ready to see Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. They're gonna be fighting February 22nd in Vegas on my birthday, and I'm so mad I can't go, because the following day I got to get ready to go on this Legends cruise where all the players.
Oh, we all feel real bad for you.
Yeah, I know. But I'll be on there with Leroy and Santana and some of the olds and some of the news. So it's going to be a great time. So, you know, I'm just kind of a little upset that I can't go to Vegas to watch that fight, because that's going to be a special fight. Deontay always thrash you in the rematches, but I think it's going to be a little different this time. But I'm going to roll with Deontay, but you never know. Tyson Fury is a different type of a guy, man. He's a 6'7", 6'8", somewhere in there type. And he moves well, and he finds spots. And I think boxers give Deontay Wilder trouble. So it's going to be a good fight, man. So I'm sitting back here and biding my time until Godzilla and King Kong come on with their fight. So yeah. I'm just chilling, brother.
Tyson Fury promised a second-round knockout. That was his. That was him calling his shot there.
Yes, I don't know about that.
Yeah, we can get the podcast rocking and rolling. You know, maybe I can get booked on the Legend Cruise in 2021. That'd be nice. I'd appreciate that if you could.
Hey, on the Wilder doing a podcast.
Huh? Yeah, we'll do a live show from the Legends Cruise. We'll pitch that. Maybe we get paid. That'd be good. That'd be
right.
That'd be excellent. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, but and kind of a crossover as we move back to football too. The you know, Antonio Brown was challenging, or they are talking about challenging Logan Paul, the YouTube guy. You know, he they had those two matches between Logan Paul and KSO that did all that traffic or did all those numbers, and now Logan Paul wants a piece of Antonio Brown. And if AB doesn't get arrested between now and then, it looks like football might not be an option with Drew Rosenhaus, you know, kind of moving away from him. And he wants, maybe they're talking about like 3 months from now. You've heard of DAZN or DAZN. Yeah. They might fight on DAZN in 3 months. So that would be.
What is this cat? What do he look like? I don't think I've seen him. Is he a big cat?
Yeah, big dude. He's bigger than AB. Yeah, he's bigger than AB. I was just looking at the, let's see, Logan Paul, Antonio Brown, as we YouTube, or as we Google stuff on the air, which is great. But yeah, it's they are nearing date. TMZ, which is just, you know, known for excellent reporting, but they said they are nearing trying to find a date. And here's the tale of the tape there. AB's 31, Logan Paul's 24, AB's 5'10", Logan Paul's 6'2", AB 186, ooh, Logan Paul 200. So he's 6'2", 200. Ooh. He's not a small guy. But they say Antonio Brown has been working out with a two-time Olympian from Nigeria who racked up a 24-6-1 record as a pro. So AB's been in the ring. He's getting ready for this. And
oh my God.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's it might be.
What about the kid OBJ? What'd he do? I can't understand this.
So he smacked, if you look at this is a common misconception. I want everybody to listen to this because Ian Rappaport reported this and I think it's accurate and it's not getting enough run. Everybody says he hit a police officer. No, he didn't. He smacked a rent-a-cop in the ass. He smacked a security guard. Not that it makes it any, you know, you still can't touch people unless they want you to touch them. I mean, that's just
a love tap. We gave him a love tap.
Yeah, that's just common sense. Don't touch people, you know, without permission. But he smacked a security guard on the rear end is what happened. And now there's a warrant out for simple battery. I struggle with this. As I mentioned, don't touch people. But at the same time, I don't understand why there was a security guard in LSU's locker room harassing people.
What do you think going to happen in the locker room, man? Come on.
Especially during a national championship celebration. You know, they said they were worried about like the ashes from the cigars. Mm-hmm. You don't think LSU, if they do burn something or if they do wreck something, you don't think LSU is going to pay the bill? You know, I mean, anyway, I just don't understand why there were security people harassing players in a post-game locker room celebration. How many post-game locker room celebration videos have we seen? Do you see security personnel? If you do, what are they doing? They're pinned to the back wall, just observing and making sure nothing crazy happens. Not interacting.
As many as I'm in, I ain't never seen one in no locker room.
Right.
Come on.
Absolutely. Yeah, not interacting and, you know, like I said, kind of giving these 22-year-old, 21, 20-year-old kids the business after they've won the biggest game of their lives.
What's the deal with the money part, though? Yeah. What's the deal with that?
Well, OBJ was giving out like $600 handshakes, it looked like. And I got to tell you, LSU released a statement that it was fake money. That's fake news. You go back and look at the high-def video. It was not handing out Odell bucks. He was not handing out Monopoly money. Those are Benjamins. If you go and you look at the HD video. So if that was fake money, you know, the Department of Commerce is going to have to get after Odell for a little bit of counterfeit because those looked exactly like Mr. Benjamin Franklin. And you know what, Odell, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but if you're listening, if you want to send a stack of that fake money to my house, we would sure appreciate it. That would be great, because that was not fake money.
Right. Okay.
But the bottom line is basically the guys that he was supposedly handing out money to, they're all going pro or college careers are over. So I don't think he was getting in. Like, he gave money to Burrow. He gave money to Justin Jefferson. These are guys that are not returning to LSU. It's just important that he didn't, slip $800 to somebody who's coming back to campus, because the NCAA is not going to have any time for that.
Wow. NCAA. Wow. Them clowns.
All right, let's take a little break to pay the bills.
Hey.
Want to thank our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. They have been so good to us trying to get this bad boy off the ground. Just talked to owner and operator Bob Watson the other day, and he's pleased with the progress that we're making, and we're so pleased with the way that they have treated us. And guys, it's not just, and I know we keep plugging it, it's not just the place to be on game day. It is. Don't get us wrong. It is the place to be on game day. But if you're in the Green Bay area for travel, or you happen to live there, it's a great place to just go and get some food and get some decently priced beverages, man. Monday through Thursday, 7 to 11, you got 40-cent wings, traditional or boneless. You cannot beat that. You just can't. And then you've got, the daily specials. You've got $4 craft pints on Tuesdays. You got $3.25 double Captain Morgan mix, double Morgan mixers on Wednesdays. And then, where I reside, Gilbert, and that's that $4.75 double Tito's on Fridays. That is where I like to operate.
Tito's. Yes. But I'll tell you what, man, Bob runs a first class organization over there. Everything is on point, from the alcohol to the food to the people, And I want to extend my extreme gratitude for him stepping up and sponsoring this podcast and being the guy that he is. I know his dad real well, and both of them guys are awesome. And Amber does an awesome job over there getting everything set up for us. And they got a guy over there by the name of PJ. He takes good care of us. He's one of the security guys over there, and a big shout out to him, because he makes everything go as well. Keeps the drunk Chicago Bear fans off of us.
That guy was a legend. Absolutely. He's awesome. Absolute legend. That guy that got thrown out of our live podcast. That guy was wild. So you're hearing this. It's probably 10, 11 a.m. on Friday. Here's the Friday special. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do some active marketing here for Stadium View. Uh-oh. Friday Fish Fry, all you can eat, $13.99. And the soup is, that's also where I reside. The soup is the clam chowder. So get to Stadium View today, and you can get your $4.75 double Tito's and your fish fry, and you won't even spend $20. It's hard to beat. It's absolutely hard to beat. I want to say one more time that we appreciate Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. All right, Gilbert, there's a football game on Sunday.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is, and I'm ready.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about this. So in the playoffs, or even in a second regular season matchup, right? What is this like? They got their ass kicked. There's no sugarcoating it to be done. 37-8, mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing to say. They got smoked. So how is this approached? How do you approach this as a coaching staff, as a group of players? Mm-hmm. What's the thought process here? Because I don't think you can, and I'm, my playing days were over basically in junior high. So I'm not a player, but I feel like you can't have revenge on your mind. You got to focus on the game plan. And I know they want to get back at the Niners for beating them down like that, but what is the feeling?
Oh man, you got a bad taste in your mouth. I mean, for real, you got a real bad taste in your mouth, and it's going to make you go back, and as painful as it is, and watch that film and see where you can get better at it, what went wrong. And there's a lot of things in that game went wrong. The offensive line didn't play well. Rushing yards was way down. Defense was sometimes on a hiatus. You know, that's just a lot of things that you can do. You got to do some soul searching, man. You got to figure out how to win the game. And that's what they've been doing after that game, is figuring out how to win. And this is the time now for them guys to really sit down as a group, offensively, defensively, special teams, and figure out how to get better. Because the 49ers, they just say, hey, we just spanked them last time. We're going to spank them again. And you got to show them that this is a new team coming into town, a more determined team, a team that knows that this game here is the last game if we don't win it. And in the back of your mind, when we was going through it, we was like, okay, so, you know, this is playoff time, is extra money. Extra money. Each game you get an extra check. So I don't think I want that Super Bowl check. So we're going to keep fighting to get to that Super Bowl check as well. So it's just a time where we got to understand that it's going to be a different team come Sunday.
That's absolutely got to be the hope. I've outlined a few things. If you guys have a chance, we obviously always hope that you are frequenting the Packer Report website. A lot of you would be happy to know we got our branding up. So it used to say, you know, Packers 24/7 up at the top. We've got that old school, beautiful 70s logo. I know, Gilbert, that's one of your favorite hats, the one that I sent you.
Absolutely. The small.
Yeah. You got it all the way on the last, button there. But really? I wrote about a couple of things that could go better. First of all, Aaron Rodgers specifically was bad in San Francisco that first time around. Not just the passing offense. He did not play well. He was absolutely electric against the Seahawks. If he plays like he did against Seattle, you're already in a completely different kind of game, you know, than the way that he played against San Fran. The other thing is the Niners are not invincible. And I'm kind of selling hope here, but sometimes that's part of the job and explaining why this game could be a little bit, you know, closer. San Fran's not invincible. Here's what happened after they beat Green Bay. Okay. They lost in Baltimore. Baltimore was a great team on the road. That said, a loss is a loss. Right after that, they won a ridiculous 48-46 game in New Orleans that did not shed a great light on the 49ers defense. Immediately after that 48-46 win, they lost to an awful Falcons team at home. Then they beat the Rams, who didn't make the playoffs, on a field goal as time expired, and then they beat the Seahawks by an inch. Now, they kicked the dog out of the Vikings in the divisional round, so that's their most recent game. But those five games after their Packers win, just to in my opinion, showed that they weren't invincible. We'll talk about Akello Witherspoon in a second. But the other thing, the two big things I think in this game that could really be the difference is, number one, Alex Light's not going to play. Alex Light was the right tackle who got kind of thrown in there when Bulaga hurt his knee and just gave up constant pressure from the right side. Constant pressure. The Packers offensive line allowed 16 pressures in that game. It was just too many. They couldn't get anything going. And even if Bulaga gets sick again or gets hurt again, they're going to have Veld here, who was so good against the Seahawks. So there should be less pressure on Rodgers than there was the first time around. And the second thing is Jimmy Garoppolo. He threw two to the Vikings last week. They only caught one of them, but he will throw you two or three balls. And the key is to catch him. You saw Kevin King drop a pick last week. The defensive backs and linebackers have to catch the football because it's coming. And if you turn San Francisco over two or three times, you got a chance to win. That's kind of what's over there at Packer Report. I dive a little bit deeper into everything. But as we mentioned, Brian Bulaga is healthy, did not miss the last game due to injury, missed the last game due to sickness. I don't know if you heard about that, Gilbert. Did you hear about wash your hands, wash your butt?
Yeah.
You guys ever have that when you, I mean, did you ever have something real nasty go around the locker room when you played?
Oh yeah, several times. You know, you get a bug because everybody's so close, man. You know, everybody's laughing, joking, playing dominoes, wrestling in the day. So you're gonna get sick, man. If one guy come in with the virus, then we all gonna
have one guy comes in, 23 guys got it. Yeah, no, I understand. So Bulaga's gonna be healthy for this game. And even like I said, if something happens to one of the tackles, they have something which is so rare in this league. I've written it a bunch of times. There are tons of NFL teams that don't have two good tackles. There are lots of NFL teams that have one good tackle and they help the other one. A lot, you know, it's hard to find good tackles in this league. And it appears that the Packers have three of them, which is kind of nuts. What makes the West Coast trip so tough, Gilbert? Because the Packers got smacked in LA. They got smacked in San Fran. I can't even remember the last time they won out in Seattle. They just haven't been good out there.
It's a mindset, man. I think it's a mindset. And it's also, you know, you got your body goes through changes when you're older. You know, you got the time change. You got the climate, weather, you know, we got different things. But, I mean, most of those things can be excuses or not, man. It's just that it's a mental block or something, man. You know, we're so used to West Coast, Midwest life. You know, it's a big difference. And we got to take it as a business trip. I mean, if you're a coach, you just want everybody to get down there and stay in your room. And then don't do nothing. We'll bring food to you. Y'all just sit in the room, you know, type thing. But it can't be that way. You got to get out. You know, you got to get acclimated to the weather and different things like that. So, I mean, it's a little mental thing, but they got to overcome that to win this game. I mean, we've been down there. My group been down there several times, and we won down there, and we lost too. So it's a different thing.
What is going through Jimmy Garoppolo's head? And I know you've, because I want to go back to your time with the Gunslinger with number four, because he kind of was Jimmy Garoppolo, very similar paths, both second round picks, both guys. Now, totally different reasons they got traded, but second round picks that got traded from their teams. And now, you know, Jimmy obviously ended up with the Niners, Favre with the Packers. But at some point in Brett's career with you, he was a young QB who had never been to an NFC championship game, and you were in the locker room with Brett. So what's Jimmy going through right now as a young quarterback who's never been there before, playing in a game with a chance to go all the way?
Oh, man, the world's on his shoulders, man. I mean, he knows that if he throws an interception or overthrows something, that everybody's going to blame him for the loss. So he is sitting there trying to figure out, I got to go in this game. I'm betting he's watching all type of film. But he's not going to take this game lightly, because this is the start of his legacy in San Francisco. And he's going against a team that has a legacy, that has a path, that has a present and a future in this league. And he has to put his stamp on the Green Bay Packers, just like all the other San Francisco quarterbacks has. To be great, he got to win this championship and then go to the Super Bowl. He has to be. And that's all the San Francisco 49er quarterback has been through. When you go back and you look at Joe Montana and you look at Steve Young, and now they got this guy. You know what I'm saying? So franchise is on his back. And hopefully we can change that come Sunday.
Yeah, obviously the hope is that it's too much, right? It's too much pressure. And as I mentioned, you saw him throw. I mean, he threw two picks to the same guy. He threw two absolute Christmas presents to Eric Kendricks, who caught one of them and dropped the other one. And so that's what you're looking for with Garoppolo. He makes some great throws, but he also, you know, occasionally has the tendency to throw it to you. So catch it when it comes. Catch it when it comes. That's an important thing. Yeah. All right. How much pressure do you feel like is on Aaron Rodgers at this point? Because we're at a point, I think, in quarterback history where you can see guys playing till they're 40, 41, 42 years old, but he's 36. And, you know, this is going to be his fourth opportunity at getting to a Super Bowl. You know, didn't get past the Falcons, didn't get past the Seahawks, but then, you know, did beat the Bears and obviously went on to win the championship. Getting to this later point in his career, because you kind of, not that you went to the later years of Favre in like 07 and 08, but you got to the point with that Packers team where it had been a while since you've been to the Super Bowl and you were just trying to get back and trying to get back. What is this like for Rodgers?
Oh, man. You know what, man? To me, and other people may say different, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers are two of greatest quarterbacks of all time, you know. And I think the only thing that's going to distinguish them two apart from each other is if Aaron Rodgers gets another Super Bowl. Both of them are 1-1. And, you know, you always want, you know, you go back and you look at Joe Montana and Steve Young. And once he won them the Super Bowl, he the monkey's off my back. Oh, my God. And if I get two, then, you know, I'm a little bit ahead or whatever. But I think it's a lot of pressure on him because he has a team where he got some young guys he got to bring and groom along. He got an offensive line that, you know, has to play well this game. And for me, I would love to see him get that second Super Bowl. It's not going to be easy. And that's the thing you want. Everything you got, you earned. And if he win this Super Bowl, he earned it because this guy has a team that's riding his back for years now. Not just this year, but for years. And for him to win this Super Bowl will be a relief for him.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, not that it'll answer every question because people say, like, oh, Brady has six. And you know.
Man, you know what? I hate when people, I mean, I shouldn't say hate. I dislike when people say that because I'm like, six Super Bowls don't call you a GOAT. I mean, what's his name? Robert Horry or whatever. He had five. Is he a GOAT? Is he a GOAT? No, come on.
So what I'm saying is it's not going to answer every question. But a second ring would really quiet a lot of folks down, I think. I think it really would.
Absolutely.
All right, Gilbert, let's get into the part of the show where everybody loves you and hates me. Let's do the game predictions. How are you feeling this one goes?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. But anyway, I feel like if the Green Bay Packers was playing an all-decade team, I'm still rolling with the Green Bay Packers. I'm just putting it out there. And I feel like this game, if the defense shows up, we win. If they show up and do the things I know they can do, we win. You know, if it's in Aaron Rodgers or what's that boy's name? Mason Crosby got to do what he got to do. Defense has to do what they got to do, and we will win. So I'm going with the Green Bay Packers because I want to see the Packers versus the Chiefs in
Super Bowl I rematch. Yeah, we've talked about that. We've talked about that on the show.
Yes.
I just from a
– Be nice now. Be nice now. You ain't too far from me to get on the plane to come see you, brother. If I get on the plane.
No travel advised here anyway. You can't come find me. All right. I just – you know, the Niners have been the best team in the NFC all year. It's really hard to remove 37-8 from the memory. Is it going to be 37-8 again? No, it's not. I don't even think this is going to look like the Falcons championship game, you know, where Atlanta just smacked Green Bay, who was completely out of defensive backs at that point. You know, this is a really healthy Packers team. And the gap between the Packers and the 49ers is not as wide as people would think. You look at, you know, even just Football Outsiders DVOA, and right now they've got Green Bay is the ninth most efficient team in the league and San Francisco is the fifth. Is that a gap? Yeah. Is it a huge gap? No, it's not. It's not. And I think Green Bay is going to be in this game. Ultimately, though, my fear is what my fear always is with this team, and that's the defense. And you saw after they got that big lead against Seattle, you saw the cracks and the things that, you know, Mike Pettine and it seems like Dom Capers have just struggled with in big moments. And ultimately, I just think that at the end of the game, it's going to be, my opinion, it's going to be Kittle. And that tight end that they just cannot cover. He's the best one. He's the best one there is. Kittle.
Why do you had to bring that up?
I just think there's going to be a big play by him down the middle, whether he's matched up with Martinez or matched up with Campbell or matched up with Reuven Green. I think Kittle makes, you know, one more play than the Packers offense is able to make. And I think San Francisco ends up winning by four or six, and you know, then we'll have a season wrap up show on Monday, or we won't. And they'll be going to Miami, and you guys can tell me all how wrong I was. Very wrong.
Very wrong. It's going down. It's going down.
All right,
man.
Folks. Gilbert, thanks for your time, buddy. We really appreciate it every time. Thanks again to Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall for their sponsorship. We appreciate what they do for us in a big, big way. There's two main ways that you guys, the listeners, can help us out. Number one, tell like 10 friends about the show. It's free. It's going to be free forever. So tell 10 friends, tell 10 Packer fan friends about Gilbert and Ross's show. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or whatever a podcast app you guys use to take this baby in, and then leave us a written review and maybe give us some suggestions. You know, we've taken a couple, I think, and improved the show during the short run that we've been on the air. So we really appreciate that. All right, folks, enjoy the heck out of this NFC Championship game. They don't come along every year. And go Pack, go.